brought to you by Burr and Foreman, broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia. It's time for Results Matter Radio, where we bring you pertinent business information and offer real-life solutions to help drive desired results for you, whatever your business may be. Now, here are your hosts, Elizabeth Gordon and Lee Cantor.
Good morning and welcome to Results Matter Radio. I'm Elizabeth Gordon. Thanks for tuning in and joining us today. We have a fantastic show in store for you. We're talking today about the Atlanta CEO Council. Raj Rajan is here, who is the co-founder of Virima and chairman of the board of directors of the CEO Council. Did I pronounce your firm correctly there, Raj?
You did great, Elizabeth. just a clarification, I am not the chair of the CEO Council. I was the chair of the CEO Council till about last year. And then we have our godfather of angel investing in Atlanta, Sig Mosley, took over as chairman. So.
All right. Thanks for the correction there. And Glenn McGonigal is also with us today. Glenn is with Tech Operators. Glenn, glad to see you.
Thanks for having me.
And Peter Barron with Carabiner Communications is with us as well.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be here.
Greg Harley with Burr and Foreman is also joining our roundtable discussion. Greg, glad to have you here.
Nice to be back.
So let's start by getting to know our guests, and then we're going to dive in to find out more about Atlanta CEO Council. So Raj, Virima is the world's first IT business operations automation software. Why don't you tell me a little bit about that?
Wow. You have actually an older description of the software.
Apparently, I've got all my notes wrong here today.
So yeah. So actually, I think I should make sure Elizabeth had the right updated messaging that we work with our PR folks. Virima Technologies, we do data center software and IT operation software. We actually have the leading technology called Autonomic Social Discovery that simplifies a lot of the operational tasks that people do in large data centers, primarily focused on the large companies and their IT departments.
Excellent. Now, you have been involved in the Atlanta technology community for quite some time and have played an integral role in building the technology community here in Atlanta. Founding other firms as well. This is not your first entrepreneurial venture, shall we say?
No, this is actually my sixth, and I've been Atlanta has been a great town. I moved here right after college in '93. The Braves were really hot then. I don't know how much now, but the city was a great place to be in, and started several ventures. Got to meet great folks and done a lot of investing in this town and put my roots down here. Married and have three kids who are all born in Northside. So it's a little plug for Northside Hospital over here.
That's terrific. And you're also very involved in the community as well. Board of counselors for the Carter Center.
Yeah, I did serve on the board of counselors for the Carter Center many years ago. A fantastic group, and President Carter is an amazing man. He could be retired, but he's doing some phenomenal work, and we did a small part in helping with their initiatives.
Excellent. Now, Glenn, let's bring you into the conversation here. You're a general partner at Tech Operators, and prior to launching that venture, we're chairman and CEO of Atlanta-based Vistascape Security Systems. Talk a little bit about your background.
Yeah, so I have that genetic defect that Raj has. I'm a serial entrepreneur.
I can't list all of the accomplishments of the gentlemen here in the room today, so forcing them to talk a little bit about them.
I came to Atlanta in '92. I'm an engineer by education, and I was fortunate enough to be introduced to a bright young kid at a Georgia Tech in the summer of 1995 by the name of Chris Klaus. At the same time, Tom Noonan and the three of us launched a company which became Internet Security Systems.
One of Atlanta's most fabled startup stories, I believe.
It was. And of course, now today it's part of IBM, and there are just many offshoots from the early employees from ISS that have gone on to found other great companies here in town. So we're a venture, and then I went off and ran a software company called Vistascape Security Systems, which was venture-backed. And ISS was venture-backed, and we went public in 98 and so forth. So basically, I've been in, you know, working in the venture-backed community for my entire career. And in 2008, I joined again with Tom Noonan and Saeed Mohammadian and David Gould, all of whom had started companies, took them public, and have pretty good track records as operators to form Tech Operators, which is an early stage venture firm.
Excellent. And Peter Barron, principal of Carabiner Communications. You're a PR consultant, Peter, and you help these high-tech companies really translate their value to the end-user community. Is that
we do.
Suffice to say?
Yes, we do, and we have fun doing it, too.
Now, you've worked with all kinds of entrepreneurs as well, been involved in a lot of high-tech ventures and helping them get the word out using your background in journalism and PR. How did you get involved in technology as a specialty?
Well, I actually started my career in New York on Madison Avenue, and then I had a moment of realization one night as I was putting T-shirts on small Cabbage Patch dolls that perhaps I was in the wrong branch of PR, so I moved to Atlanta in 85. I got a job with Intelligent Systems, and just by accident ended up working on Peachtree Software. Ended up working with Bill Goodhue and Leland Strange and some wonderful people. A few years later, I found myself in a PR agency that I'd started, and Raj was one of my clients, which began my connection with the CEO Council. A few years later, I had the opportunity to work with Vistascape and Glenn as well. So it's been a terrific ride, and there's still some wonderful, great entrepreneurial things happening in our community.
Lots to talk about. Greg, want to bring you into the conversation as well here. You're a commercial litigator for Burr and Foreman.
I am. Real proud to be part of Burr and Foreman's Atlanta office. We came here in 96, not too long after Raj, and it's been a great run for us. I started the office. I was the second lawyer, and we're up to, I think, 50 now. And have been excited to be part of the growth of Atlanta. And firm-wide, we're up to 9 offices and about 350 lawyers. So we love working with businesses, and, man, it's exciting to be with these guys that have actually started businesses. I know sometimes they may think a lawyer's is getting in the way, but hopefully we can show them how we do add value and that type of thing. So this is real exciting for me to be part of this topic.
Yeah, this is a great conversation. So I'm glad you're here to help me interview these guys. For more than 10 years, the Atlanta CEO Council has provided an exclusive opportunity for technology company C-level executives to connect. So guys, give us some background on the organization here, Atlanta CEO Council. Raj, let's start with you.
So, Elizabeth, when we, in the 90s, late 90s, we were building several companies, and Atlanta had a very thriving startup community, but really a no good place to the CEOs and the investors and all the thought leaders to connect. And my frustration of meeting people from Atlanta, out of Atlanta, and saying, let's get together, you know, frankly, there's only so many hours in a day and so many days in a month, right? So you can't possibly meet with everyone for coffee and lunches and dinners, and we're extremely busy people. So this concept came out of creating a group of high-value, impatient self-starters that we could get the maximum value in a short couple of hours. And that was the theme that we started the CEO Council. It started with a focus on 3 pillars. One was to create the networking and the friendship and the relationships so that deals and ecosystem can get done, ecosystem grows. The second pillar was to foster mentoring in a peer-to-peer manner. And third is to help the community identify and mentor the next generation of leaders in high schools and and you'll see a lot of the theme where we are really focused on really the younger generation to come out. And so that started out, and you know, it was Peter, and I, so as usual, I, you know, I do business with friends and people that we enjoy working together. So Glenn was pulled along, Chris Klaus, all the usual suspects were all pulled together and said, guys, it's a big party, and we're forming an organization, and that's how we got started. And we're still a leading organization in town 13, 14 years later.
So the scope of the job description, if you will, of a CEO, especially for, you know, high growth startup, it's so vast. It's you know, before we got started on the air, I was asking you guys how you accomplish so much, how you find time to do all that you do. Talk a little bit about how the CEO Council helps you focus on, I guess, the most important things or the key areas, because I would imagine it's easy to be overwhelmed with all that you're trying to do when you're getting a company off the ground and going on a high growth spurt like that.
Yeah. So having been there, I could tell you that the job of a CEO is a lonely job, right? You're a leader first, and you know, there are many things that while you may have an open culture with your management team, there are many things that are really CEO and leadership things that you may not be comfortable and oftentimes shouldn't be discussing with management. However, there are other CEOs in the same situation as you. In fact, there are many. And I think one of the most exciting things about the CEO Council and why I chose to get involved early was I got to meet in a social setting, form relationships with people like me, who are in a similar situation, who were dealing with many of the same challenges that I was dealing with in terms of scaling a technology company, and so that's, I would say, you know, related directly back to the value that I take from it, the relationships, you know, whether they be service providers, other entrepreneurs, investors. All of these constituents are part of the Atlanta CEO Council ecosystem and are extremely valuable components to a CEO in building their company.
And would you say that having those relationships or surrounding yourself with that kind of a group helps you to, I guess, enhance the vision that you already initially had? I mean, when you first started your companies, did you even imagine what you were ultimately able to achieve?
You saw, when I moved to Atlanta in 93, I knew three people. And they're guys that I'd studied with in Florida Tech who had come to Georgia Tech. Really no help at all. So when I started my first business, I'd been here a couple of years. I did every mistake that you can as an entrepreneur starting up. And, you know, I always joke that I went to HBS, a Hard Knocks business school. Right.
Nice.
With the CEO Council, I mean, I can tell you each progressive year and as we have formed it, when I start a business or I want to meet someone or I want to have the friendships and the relationships that people form at the council, just shortens the process to get to where people want to go or have a question answered or need advice on a situation. And it's very easy to pick up the phone and get that answer in 10 minutes instead of struggling for days trying to figure that out.
Raj, with the council, how many members do you guys have and what are the qualifications to join?
So one of the things that when we set up the council, being the new folks in town, as we would like to call ourselves then, was we wanted to create a very objective criteria, right? The value of each CEO and their time is extremely precious. So our criteria was people had to have be a founder or we use the term CXO, that could mean CEO, CTO, CIO, CMO, and to have raised at least $1 million in outside venture funding, professional money. And we do pick certain people or exceptional who don't fall into that criteria because we just see them extremely talented and we invite them. But it's an objective criteria. If you have a company that's been funded, you automatically get an invite to the council. The other four companies that we look for, CXOs, are profitable companies or revenue-generating companies, $5 million and above. And also, we look at the senior vice presidents and other of our larger public literary companies are invited. All the angel investors, pretty much every venture capitalist in town is invited. And actually, you'll see, if you want one place to meet all the investors in town, you show up at a CEO Council event.
Right? They're all there.
They're all there. And we also, you know, one of the unique things that, you know, the challenges that we actually dealt with was because we had set up very fair and objective criteria and we published it. It was not a private club. It was essentially you had to be in the role to qualify. We had a lot of gate crashers attempting to get into the
I bet.
Right?
I might be gate crashing the next time around.
Well, Elizabeth, you always have an invite from us, so you don't have to gate crash. We welcome you to come and join us.
So, Peter, I want to hear your perspective on how the council is different than other networking organizations. You're very involved in the Atlanta business community as well as everybody in the room here. Why is there a need for another organization, and what really makes this one so different?
Nobody else serves the lamb chops like CEO Council does. I think that's the joke around town. But I go to a lot of networking meetings, and for the most part, oftentimes they're too big, which means that you feel some pressure to rise above the noise. The nice thing about the CEO Council, it's in a relaxed environment. They do meet at the Ritz, and it's not a huge crowd. It's 150, 200 people. Often they're meeting together in small groups of people that already know one another, and there's a system of hosting. For instance, if somebody arrives that's new, council members are very good to see who they would like to meet with, and introductions are made. That's a very friendly mentoring environment. And as Rajiv mentioned before, you can come and be comfortable. Nobody's going to try and sell you insurance or real estate or any other kind of a service. You're going to meet with your peers, and it's very easy to form those relationships. You may not get into deep discussions right there that night, but because you've formed an introductory relationship at the CEO Council, you can then go on and meet over coffee or lunch, and those relationships then last over years.
So let's talk about the startup community here in Atlanta and kind of that culture. It does have almost an Atlantan aspect to it, where there is sort of this friendly, inviting culture. How do you think that evolved over time? Because you guys have all been involved since the early days.
You know, Elizabeth, Atlanta is a town that accepts all comers in any aspect. And in the technology community, I came here as a newcomer in 92, right? So, you know, I didn't know anybody. And what I found, you know, the role that CEO Council plays is one of, in many ways, it plays a role of sort of the welcome wagon to the tech community. If you're new from out of town, whether you're an entrepreneur, whether you're a investor, whether you're a new member with a firm like Burr Forman, and you want to get connected quickly to the core constituents in the tech community, there's no better place than CEO Council, bar none. And I always recommend that. Now I've been here, you know, 20 years later, I recommend that to people when they're coming to town, that you know, come to the next CEO Council event, you know, as Peter said, great lamb chops, but it's mostly, you know, great company. And great conversation, and great networking, and great relationships. So that to me has been, you know, a core of what we're about.
So I want to ask you about the VC community, because the Chronicle had a story a couple of weeks ago about VC investment kind of being down last year. What is the climate? You hear stories about people raising millions of dollars for their startup venture. Is that possible, and what does it take to bring investors to the table with sizable capital to help really catapult a business plan forward?
So it absolutely is possible. Money always follows great entrepreneurs with great ideas. Unfortunately, in Atlanta and Georgia in general, we haven't had enough of that flowing for our great entrepreneurs and great ideas. And so that Business Chronicle article is one snapshot of the past quarter of activity. In 2012, you know, reflecting the economic macro conditions, I think that I've seen statistics since then that are showing a trend upward in terms of exits and opportunities for investors to return capital, which is all very good news. And when that happens, you'll start to see a flow of investment capital back into our great companies. One of the things that wasn't mentioned in that piece, by the way, is that there are just a handful of locally based venture funds here in Georgia. Coincidentally, you know, all of them are raising new funds right now, which doesn't happen all the time. It happens every 4 or 5 years. Typically, that means that there's not a lot of new investment going on when the funds are raising capital. And so I think the more recent, you know, quarter or two reflects the fact that there's not a lot of active capital coming out of the local-based funds. But, you know, I'm an optimist. I believe in this great state and our entrepreneurs, and we'll be putting a lot of money to work out of our fund in Georgia Entrepreneurs over the coming years.
Excellent. Excellent here. So let's talk about the events themselves. What goes on besides the lamb chops? What else happens at an event? What kind of programs? What could somebody expect? And how do you score an invite to one of these events if you don't happen to be a famous radio talk show hostess like me?
You have to talk to Harriet. Harriet's our executive director, and she keeps us running on time. She's the train conductor.
And there is also an application process through the website where you can fill in a form, and then, as Glenn has mentioned, Harriet will let you know if you're invited. The meetings themselves tend to just be mingling. But prior to the meeting of late, for instance, we've had some pre-networking speakers come in. We had Dr. Goel from Georgia Tech come in and talk about biomimicry, which was very interesting. And more lately, we had Dr. Fox come in from Emory. He talked about the identification and treatment of cancer through big data. Fascinating topics. They're not long speeches, but given the intellectual curiosity of these entrepreneurs, oftentimes they find these topics to be very stimulating.
Sure. Well, and you guys are ideas and visionary people. So what, when you're looking for business opportunities, you know, what are the key things that you look at and say, that's a good business opportunity, that's a business I want to be in, I see a growth opportunity there?
Yeah, Glenn's pointing to me, but I am the wrong guy to ask that question because I'm extremely picky on my criteria. You know, Atlanta is a great town, and people, you know, we always look at the tech startups and you guys here as being the first-time entrepreneurs and all the good stuff. But if you look at, you know, one of the most enduring companies of U.S. or the world for that matter, Coca-Cola was an entrepreneurial startup here 125 years ago, right? If you look at great businesses in Atlanta, I mean, they are in all different sectors. One of the largest exits in Georgia that happened actually was one of our companies that presented, that we had selected for our first Atlanta CEO Council Venture Forum in 2002, was a company called Pharmacet. And they recently, about a year or so ago, sold for $11 billion. In fact, I've been doing an analysis. There are about 10 companies presenting on the first round, and they're all collectively raising about $70 million or so. And if I look at that, this is in 2002, and all those companies have exited for over north of $13 billion in value, right? So $100 million investment, $13 billion exit. I mean, of course, they took additional capital, but if it was a venture portfolio and you made that investment, people would have made 10 times their money. And each of those businesses in that sector that we had picked on were of different industries. You know, they were good. I classify them as the intellectual property, something like Dr. Ashok Goyal's working on, very deep technology. Then you also have great businesses like Home Depot and IXL, like models that are going after the internet sector. Some recent successes were a company called Vitru, which does social media marketing. sold for a few hundred million dollars. Of course, I mean, no mention goes without ISS. You know, essentially, ISS was one of the greatest companies to happen because they created a new sector in information and internet security. And not only that, that spawned a whole bunch of internet startups, security startups, and expertise here, where Atlanta is considered one of the hubs of that technology. So, you know, I'll turn it over to Glenn to share a little bit about his insight.
So we're talking about what's criteria, what's interesting.
Right. I mean, you're building the fund. So what do you look at to put your money where your mouth is?
Glenn, I guess my thought was, what if a company, a startup, is looking for venture capital money, what do they need to do to make themselves attractive to the people that have it? And then my follow-up question is, I've been reading Steve Jobs' biography recently, and how much, when the money comes in, how much is there a clash of control from the guys providing the money versus the old entrepreneurial company that wanted to do things their way?
So, yeah, let me touch on the second question first, because I think that's important for those entrepreneurs out there listening that are thinking about taking venture money. You know, it's a relationship business, right? Like anything else, you're in this potentially for a long term, you know, multi-year kind of relationship. When we look at investing in companies and entrepreneurs, not only are we selective in the business opportunity, but we're also very selective in the people. Right, at the end of the day, you know, life's too short to be working with people that you can't work with, and so a lot of it is just the compatibility. And what that really translates into is this entrepreneur seeking a partner with capital or just capital, right? Capital can come from a lot of different sources. In our case, at Tech Operators, you know, we value entrepreneurs who have passion, who are working on game-changing kinds of businesses that have huge market opportunity in software. So we're software-centric guys who value the expertise and experiences that my partners and I can bring to the table, having built companies ourselves. And so that tends to you know, weed out a number of companies that either, you know, don't value it, aren't software companies, aren't in our minds, you know, really building companies that are addressing large markets with real innovation. And so, you know, the advice to the entrepreneur is don't give up. You know, if you're passionate about your business, you're convinced that you've got, you know, a game-changing idea, you know, seek good counsel, take input. Don't be discouraged when a venture firm says no, or no, you know, not now. When I was raising capital for my last company, I think I presented to 45 different venture firms before I got my first term sheet. And that's what it takes. It takes
some
persistence.
Thick
skin. You know, and adapting, right? So, you know, what may not be right for Tech Operators or Raj's firm or any other firms here in town doesn't mean it's not your idea is not fundable. Every one of us have different expectations, different criteria.
And just to add, I mean, you know, there's, you know, every fund that is set up, venture fund, has an investment thesis that they want to invest in. Some people want to invest only in services businesses, business service companies, consulting comps, IT-enabled technology businesses. There are companies that only want to invest in healthcare because the partners, the fund managers, have expertise in that area, or internet security. So you have to, if you're an entrepreneur looking for capital, you need to pair up and find the right investors that fit in that model. And that's the first step. I mean, at the CEO Council, we have pretty much all the venture funds in Atlanta and in the southern region represented and attending regularly, right? So if you are a member of the council and say you're looking to raise money, I can assure you there's someone in that room or in our relationship database that can point you to the right fund or right group of funds very quickly. And that's, you know, a big value.
So obviously, it's a very attractive opportunity to spend time with your peers, these other C-level executives of technology companies. But I think what's also so impressive about all of your backgrounds is to the degree that, you've given back to the community. And so Atlanta CEO Council also is passionate about being involved in the community and making a contribution, giving back. Can you talk a little bit about ways in which the organization continues to play a role in the community?
Absolutely. And Peter, you should touch on this because you've been involved longer than I have on it. But I think it goes back to Raj's point of helping to build the next generation of business leaders here in our town.
Yeah, and specifically, the council's been involved with the Ron Clark Academy. Was involved over 3 years and able to contribute over $80,000 in addition to providing intellectual capital as some of the members volunteered there. In 2012, the council adopted the Junior Achievement. And in fact, tomorrow, I think about 19 council members will be going over to the middle school in Fulton County to volunteer in the entrepreneurship program in 12 separate sixth-grade classes. I think that would be really cool if I was in the sixth grade to have a successful local entrepreneur come in to speak to me. That would be a memorable and remarkable day. So it's great and fun for council members to get the opportunity to do that. After all is said and done, and I can say this having been with the council for as long as I have, these are great people, terrific men and women. They're successful in business. But I've been able to form some terrific friendships over time, and they're genuine, kind, warm people, and their connection to the youth of the area is a genuine one.
It's fantastic. Well, you know, here on the Results Matter Radio, we always like to finish up the show by talking about results that matter. So, Raj, you're first up. Let's talk about results you're looking for that you're most proud of, and, you know, what are the results to come? We're early on in the year, so...
You got to qualify that, Elizabeth, a little bit on which perspective. We have our hands in multiple groups. So,
that's true. Results, first of all, for the CEO Council. But obviously, yeah, you're working on multiple ventures here. So, you know, the business results that you're looking for as a leader this year as well.
So from the CEO Council, I think we have, we have executed consistently and very well for the last 15, 14 years. And so this year, the goals are to continue. And we're coming out of a very difficult economic environment. We want to help our council members, get more funding and progress further in their businesses and help them with the growth of their businesses. From a giving back perspective, I mean, we now partnered with Ron Clark and Junior Achievement, and we are making a big push to get more people, more council members mentoring these students. I mean, these students are amazing. Some of the entrepreneurial talent and the leadership talent that they exhibit for at such a young age, I mean, it's amazing. So we continue to grow that this year.
Fantastic. Glenn, results.
Okay. A little bit different angle. Some of us have been involved in working with our local government to increase capital to the state, venture specifically. So there's a program passing through the current Georgia legislature called Invest Georgia, and the lieutenant governor is sponsoring it, and it's focused on providing over the course of 5 years $100 million of capital to be invested in our great Georgia entrepreneurs through, you know, venture firms, various professional firms here in our state. That'll be huge because there's a multiplier effect if the state can pull that off, not only in creating jobs, but creating the right kind of jobs that represent the next economy in our great state.
Fantastic. Love to hear it. Peter, how about you?
Well, we're working to spend time with the local universities. It's important that there's a pipeline of talented people that keep coming forward to the Atlanta companies and that they also stay here. In addition to that, we're looking to have stronger relationships, deeper partnerships with other organizations here in town, such as TIE and TAG and Atlanta Technology Angels, the Metro Chamber, to just name a few. There are several, but building and continuing to foster that entrepreneurial-friendly ecosystem is very important.
Excellent. And Greg, I know you're all about results.
Sure. You know, results for us are partnering with our clients. And really, as the lawyers, maybe not how people have traditionally thought of it, we want to add value to the businesses that our clients are involved in. And, you know, we can do that by helping them protect their intellectual property, maximizing the value of that property. From a litigation perspective, of course, that's what I do. I like to litigate, but it's also exciting to work with companies on the front end to help them minimize litigation risks. So to us, a great day is when we can partner with the client to help add value to that business.
Excellent. Well, I want to make sure we give contact information so all of our listeners know how to try and get invited to Atlanta CEO Council. They can visit the website, which is atlantaceo.org. And also for each of my guests, if we could go around and give websites for each of you so people can find out what you're up to these days. Raj?
People can find me at www.virima.com, V-I-R-I-M-A.com. And my email, Raj, R-A-J, at virima.com.
Excellent. Thank you. How about you, Glenn? For tech operators.
Tech operators, T-E-C-H, operators.com. And my email is Glenn with two N's at techoperators.com.
Terrific. Peter, Carabiner.
Carabiner Communications. The website is carabinerpr.com, which is CARABINERPR.com.
Terrific.
And you can email me too at pbaron@carabinerpr.com.
And we all know how to get in touch with Byrne Forman. Thanks, guys, so much for coming in. This was a fantastic show. It was a real pleasure having you all on today.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
I'm Elizabeth Gordon. You've been listening to Byrne Forman's Results Matter Radio, and I will talk to you next week.
This has been a joint production of Byrne and Forman and Business Radio X. Byrne and Forman is a full-service law firm with offices across the Southeast. If results matter to you and you want them to matter to your law firm, please give Byrne and Forman a call at 404-685-4337. For more information and to find the right attorney for you, visit burr.com. That's B-U-R-R.com.